All right, everybody, welcome back after our nice long Columbus Day break. We are returning to the story of American history in this elementary class of history at our house. And so today we are going to conduct a review and a preview. And next week we'll launch into this new exciting segment, which I'm going to be showing you kind of an overview of today. It's a review, preview, overview. So, but before that, I want to reference the test here in a couple different ways. One is that some of you have taken the test and you are no doubt eager to have your work graded. And so I wanted to update you on that. The answer keys to the test will be posted with today's resources. So when today's lecture is posted, you will also see, as part of today's lecture 21 resources, you will see the test 1 answer key. And that's probably just about the normal schedule that we're going to have. In other words, the answer key will be posted the next lecture after the test, basically. So usually that'll be a Monday. You won't have to wait to a Wednesday, all right? But this week has had a lot of extra interesting things going on in it, so it's had to wait till today. But you will get the answer keys today. And I also had a question from a student about, well, he said, I didn't get a chance to get to the test. So everybody has a busy life nowadays. That is certainly part of the way that we live in our modern world. We are all extremely busy folks. So what if you have not been able to do the test? Well, what I would say is this. Either you do it this weekend, in other words, because, well, you have History Through Art tomorrow and you have a nice other one more weekend. Either you do it this week or you don't do it. Okay, that's what I have to say about the test. If you can fit it in, if you have not been able to fit it in, but you can now fit it in, please do it. I think it's valid, and I think it is worthwhile to try hard to make the effort to fit it in, okay? But if you can't, then you need to drop it. It's okay. We will survive that, we're going to be moving on. And today I'm going to be introducing you to a set of exercises that we're going to be doing every week, probably twice a week, that will help you to kind of make up for the lost time anyway. So it's going to be a special set of exercises that will help you to remember some of the material that we have studied, and the most important part of it, of course, the anchor facts. So that's my advice. Is anybody not clear now on their status with regard to test 1? The grading keys are coming. If you haven't taken the test, but you can this weekend, do it. If you can't, don't do it. That's it. Okay? There's nothing tragic about that. You don't need to lose any sleep over it, okay? We are here to learn and do as much as we can, but we want to do it in a positive, with a positive outlook, and not get too wrapped up in what we can't do, okay? Good. So now I have two exciting things to do today. I want to show you, we're going to do a review in a sense, and I'm going to show you this cool set of exercises that I have, which is in a way going to be kind of a game that we're going to play almost in history class. We're going to do that review part, and then I'm going to show you what the next part of our course is about. In other words, the history course of American history is broken up into 6 parts, and we have completed part 1. And now I'm going to show you a slideshow of really cool images that's going to get you excited about what we are going to be doing in part 2. So that is the fun stuff that's coming up. So let me first take you to a set of exercises now that's part of our review, and that is also going to be a game that we're going to play on a regular basis now. So here we go. I'm going to share my desktop, and I'm going to show you a document on the screen here which hopefully you can all see, and I'm going to zoom in on the parts of it. Of course, you will recognize it if you've taken the test, that's for sure. Even if you haven't taken the test, you'll recognize all the pictures and the questions, okay? And this is an exercise, and I'm going to zoom a little bit here so we won't be able to see the whole picture anymore. This is an exercise called Fact Practice, okay? So it's just like the title sounds. What it means is that we are going to practice the facts. It's nothing more complicated than that. We're going to practice facts, the most crucial facts that we know. And as you can see, this one in particular is upper elementary, and I'm going to explain why. The lower elementary is different. Okay, and so what is it that we are going to do with this facts practice sheet that is going to be posted on the class webpage? What we're going to do is, I think probably in the elementary class twice a week, I'm going to guess Monday and Wednesday, we are going to have a drill or a race. You could think of it as a race, and this is going to be the fun part because it's going to be a contest. And the contest is going to be, who can fill this sheet in the fastest? Yes, it is going to be a race. Who is going to be able to fill this sheet in the fastest? Don't hold your hand. Don't give me your hands raised in just a second. Just a second, okay? I got more things to say. All right? So what you're going to do is you're going to print out this page, and you are going to write in the answers as fast as you can. And that means that by the time you are really fast at it, I bet you can finish this page in less than 2 minutes. Now, notice that this is upper elementary. And so I want to say a few words about that. I want to say a few words about what you're looking at. This is upper elementary, and it has all 7 anchor facts on it. Okay, so upper elementary folks are going to do a facts practice that has all 7 anchor facts. Lower elementary folks are going to do facts practices that only have 4 facts per sheet. So, if you are lower elementary, here is your number one facts practice. So, that's in order to make it fair, right? Because lower elementary students are younger, they can't write as fast. That's okay. Nothing to be ashamed of. It's just the way that it is, right? So, if you're lower, you won't be able to write as fast. And I don't want you to write so fast that it doesn't make sense, right? That you're scribbling and it's messy and it's a terrible exercise. That's not the point of this. The point of this is to write quickly, but well, and as fast as you can, think about the answers and put them down. Okay, so lower elementary, this is going to be your first facts practice. It only has 4 questions to try to make it fair. If it turns out that the lower L is faster, maybe I'll put 5. Or maybe I'll only put 3. That's okay. So nobody panic about this. It's meant to be a fun exercise to review this at least twice a week in class. Now, in order to do this type of exercise fast, what do you suppose is going to be a good idea for everybody here outside of class? If you want to be the fastest, what are you going to have to do? Dana?
Either you memorize it or you read your class notes.
Yeah, no, you definitely are going to have to memorize it. There's no choice about it. Now, a lot of people are scared of memorization in history, and your parents probably have nightmares about history tests they once took where they had to memorize stuff and they think that it's useless. But you guys know that these anchor facts matter. And that this is important information that it is good to know. So you don't have to memorize a whole bunch of stuff. You only have to memorize these 7, okay? And there will be more to memorize over the course of the year. But memorizing means that you are putting something into your mind and you don't have to look at anything else in order to know it. It's already in your head. And you know it, and that way you can use it in your own thinking. It is a very positive thing that you can do if the information that you are memorizing is the right information. So yes, you must memorize to make it fast, but there's something else. Memorization is not a one-time affair. What do you have to do in order to become the facts practice champion? Abby.
Do it a lot.
Do it a lot. Do it a lot. In other words, repeat. Repetition is part of memorization. It's not the only thing. And again, a lot of people are afraid of just repeating stuff and they think, oh no, that's not really learning. The key is, of course, that you must learn what you're repeating. You don't just repeat. You're not going to be a parrot. You're going to be a human being that repeats. And that's just fine. That's how we learn to ride a bike, and then we don't forget how to do it, and that's how we learn how to swim, and that's how we learn to do a lot of things. We first work really hard at it, and it's difficult, we don't know how, and it's hard work, and then to get good at it, we repeat. And before you know it, we do know it. Before you know it, you know it. Okay, so that's how it's going to work. We're going to practice this. I recommend at first that you practice no less than once a day. I'm not kidding. It won't be necessary after a while. In fact, after a while, you won't even have to practice because you will have completely memorized it. But at first, you're going to memorize, and it's going to be an effort, and it's going to be a little difficult, and it's going to be a challenge. But before you know it, it will be just like, I don't know if I told you this story before, but it'll be just like when the doctor bangs on your kneecap at the doctor's office, and your leg goes shooting out. It's going to be a reflex. All of this information is going to be a reflex, and it's really cool when that happens. Because the more of this information that you have in the back of your mind and that you know like a reflex, then something else starts to happen. You start to have the ability to have really interesting thoughts about history. It's amazing. You can't have the most interesting thoughts about history until you know a lot of it. And then it starts to add up and it starts to be possible to have a lot of interesting thoughts. And this has been a big deal in my life to be able to do that as well. As a teacher, I have all of these thoughts in the back of my head. I have all of these facts, and that helps me to be a good thinker. So it's a combination. All right, Jeremy, I still see your hand up there, so you may have an unresolved question or issue. Oh, the hand went down. Okay. All right, so facts practice. We are going to do an example of it on Monday. Do we have enough time? Yeah, well, let's see. I think we're going to do a little bit. I don't want to spend the whole class on this, but I think we got a couple more minutes to talk about it here. Wyatt Henry, questions?
This is Wyatt Hill.
Yep.
I have a question about the first day we're going to do this today.
Yeah. Oh, we're not.
How are we going to get it?
Yeah, well, you're not going to do it today, but this is going to be on the class webpage. You know how that works, right? You know how to go to the class webpage. So you will get a PDF, which can be printed. And so you print it out. And you'll have a sheet of paper that you can write on as quickly as you can. That's how it works. Okay. And so we'll talk more about this. I'm sure that there's some people that have maybe special problems or challenges with regard to writing really fast. That's okay as well. So if you do feel like you're going to have a special challenge on this exercise, your mom should probably write to me an email, and we can talk about what the best way is to approach this. Okay, so we'll see. A PDF, Christopher, is a special kind of file that everybody can print. Okay, I can't remember what it stands for, but it's a special kind of file that you can print. Okay, no matter what computer you have, no matter what printer you have. Okay, so we're going to review these, but I feel, so, yeah, what should we do here? Oh, yeah, you know what we're going to do really quickly is we're going to go back to the upper elementary one. And we're going to just answer these questions as quick as we can as a group right now, just as an example of how to do it. And before we do that, I'm just going to point out one thing. Which question is not shown on the facts practice? Have you noticed that the facts practice does not have one of the questions? Rosetta, which one does it not have?
So what?
The so what. Okay, there's a reason why the so what is not on there. The so what question is a question to think about. It is not a question to parrot. It is not a question that you can just repeat and repeat and repeat to pretend that you know it. You must think about the so what question. The facts are easy. The facts are easy for number one, right? Somebody quickly give me the facts. Who, what, where? And then the when. Okay? Those are the facts. Okay, Patrick's going to do it. Who, what, where, Patrick?
Menes Narmer rules Egypt.
Okay, Menes Narmer unifies Egypt. When?
3000 BC.
Oh, what do you have to have in front
circa
of it?
Circa.
Okay, good. So now we have the facts, right? Menes Narmer unifies Egypt. When? Circa 3000 BC. Okay, anybody can write that out pretty fast, right? And so that's fine to think, but to memorize, right? But then you have to think about, why do I memorize this? Who cares? So what? That is to think about. That is not to memorize. I don't want you to pretend to know that. I want you to have to think about that and tell me in class and discuss it and work on it together. Okay? So we're not going to fake that. We're not going to parrot that. We're going to think that one out. Okay, so Christopher wants to know what circa C period is. It means circa, which means around. When we don't know a date, we say circa. That means, oh, it's not exactly that date, but we don't know exactly what it is. All right, Patrick did number one. Let's do number two. Who's going to do number two for me? Abby, please, go.
Number one. The Athenians and the Romans created a democracy and a republic when... 509 and 509 BC.
All right, that was super fast. Athenians make democracy, Romans make republic. When? 508, 509. All right, it should be circa 508 BC, circa 509 BC. Yeah, we can't skip those facts. Okay, very nice. Number three. Who, what, where? And then when? Oh my goodness. Nemo.
Jesus Christ was born inside the Roman Empire. When 1 AD?
No, wasn't born in 1 AD. When was he really born, Nemo? Yeah, we got to be careful of that. Historians are not satisfied with answers that are not really true when we don't know them. So, Anna says, when?
Circa
4 BC. Circa 4 BC. That's a more of a historical fact instead of a tale. Okay, number four. Who, what, where, and then when? Put your hands down unless you're answering. Sigourney.
The fall of the Roman Empire. That's who, what, where. When? Circa 476 AD.
Yeah, we don't need a circa on that one. Because once we get to the Roman Empire, we know when stuff is going on. So we know that it's finally over in 476 AD. So you could write barbarians destroy Rome. When? 476 AD. All right? Or the fall of the Roman Empire is okay too. All right? Good. All right, number five. That should be the quickie. All right, what do we got here? Rosetta.
Columbus discovered America.
When?
Yeah. 1492.
AD. All right, good. By that point, we don't so much need the ADs, right? Because we know that it's AD. Okay, number six, please. Who's going to do number six? How about Wyatt? All right, that's okay. You're on the spot, and it's a little bit frustrating sometimes. Caleb, go ahead.
Who, what, where? Founding fathers create America. When? 1776.
Okay, founding fathers signed Declaration of Independence. 1776. Let's try to be a little bit more precise. And finally, number seven. Who's gonna do that one? Anna.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Okay, terrorists destroyed the World Trade Center in New York City. When? 9/11/2001.
There we go. All right, so now we have all the facts. I know you guys know them because we've been working so hard on your test preparations. So I'll be printing those out, and you'll be doing your best to do that as fast as you can. Don't worry, it'll get to be a natural thing. You won't panic and everything. I'm sure you'll be really fast when you're finally all is said and done, Wyatt. So, okay, you guys are ready to go. I want to show you guys now what we're going to be learning that's new. Okay, the anger fact is the beginning of our learning. It's the information that we need to know to really understand American history well. But now we're going to be moving into a new part of American history altogether. So part two of our course, I call it the shaping of a new world. Right? We have been looking at the old world, as historians call it and geographers call it. Europe is the old world. Out with the old, in with the new. So, what is going to be this new world that we are going to see? Well, it's going to have three parts to the story. One part of it is called the Age of Discovery. An awesome period, one of the most exciting periods in history, where people are going to finally figure out where they are. They're going to finally know, hey, look at this planet. Look how big it is. Look where all the continents are. Look where all these places are. Fantastic. Look how big the oceans are. Here we know how to get around. This is the world that we're in. And then we're going to see that this age of discovery is part of something bigger. That this something bigger is, historians call it the Renaissance, which is a really interesting word. It's a French word, and it means, I think somebody here knows what it means. What does this French word, the Renaissance, mean in English? Wyatt?
Rebirth.
Rebirth. It's a period of rebirth. We're going to look at what that means. And then we're going to see that the new world is not going to be like the old religious world of Europe. It's going to involve a radical change called the Reformation and religious wars, which is going to transform the world and make it more like, make it into the one that we see around us. So let me show you a few of the amazing things here. I've got this cool slideshow to go through. I hope it's not going to be too quick to do it, but we have a pretty amazing slideshow. Let me move, I gotta minimize the rest of this stuff. Okay, let me go over to this, and let's see which one we got. Okay, Age of Discovery. What are we going to be talking about? Well, we're going to be talking about Christopher Columbus, of course, and his arrival in the New World, right? And what all that means. But we're going to be talking about the fact that Christopher Columbus sailed for Spain, except we don't all speak Spanish in this New World. Why is that? Aha! Uh-huh. Oh, well, Abby knows. Why?
Because people who spoke other languages, French, English, came over and discovered different languages.
Yeah, exactly. Here's another guy. I don't have a really big painting of his, but it's a really pretty painting. I wish I had a bigger version of it. This guy's name is Giovanni Caboto. He's also Italian, and the English called him John Cabot because they couldn't pronounce his name. And he discovered a part of North America, and so the English started coming over here too. All right, cool. So we're going to have this whole age of discovery where the Europeans are going to be sending their ships to America, and they're going to be exploring. This is a painting of the mouth of the Mississippi River, with the French are going to discover that. And for the most part, they're going to be thinking, you know what, this America place is kind of a waste of time. Isn't that sad? They didn't understand what's going to be coming here. At the beginning of American history, the Europeans mostly thought this America place is a waste of time. Remember, where was Columbus trying to go? He was not trying to go to America. He didn't know it was there when he discovered it. That would be the opposite of discovering, wouldn't it? So, Patrick, where was he trying to go?
Spain.
No, he was from Spain. He was trying to go somewhere else. Abby?
The Indies.
Yes, China. Okay. So China, India, Asia, basically, right? So we're going to talk about how, well, they tried to get around America. Here they are going through the Arctic, and they're getting stuck in their boats, and it's really tough going. And they're searching for northern passages, and it's all really hard until finally a guy named Richard Hakluyt says, hey, this America place, it's good for more than going around. We should just stay there. It's actually a good idea, and there's different reasons why. And then Queen Elizabeth is going to send men like this, Sir Walter Raleigh's in this painting, and she's going to say, go over there already. Get to work. We're going to put some colonies over there. And so the story of colonization and the birth of America is going to happen. So that's going to get wonderful and exciting. But all of this age of discovery, meanwhile, is going to involve a really profound change to the world of Europe. So the world of Europe around the time of Christopher Columbus is a world that has really only one acceptable version of Christianity in it. And one way of looking at the world. A way of looking at it that says, well, here's Jesus, and he is not a child. He is a God. And he teaches everybody the truth. And then, somehow, strangely, people are going to change their mind a lot about that. They're going to start looking at the world differently. And they're going to say, well, no, Jesus was a baby. And his mom, Mary, was a woman, and she loved him, and he was a little child. And they were, that's not all that the story of Jesus means. There's a different way of looking at human life. And that way of looking at human life is more like what the ancient Greeks and Romans used to think. Right? And we know part of what the ancient Greeks and Romans used to think. They used to think human life is wonderful and we should not be ruled by rulers. We should have a different kind of life on this world. And the Greeks and Romans made beautiful art. And before you know it, in this time called the Renaissance, so did the people of Europe. They started living in a way, reminding themselves of what the ancient Greeks and Romans had to say, and starting to make beautiful art. And we're going to see a lot of different versions of what they did as well, part of this Renaissance. They're going to start thinking differently about the world. And the result is going to be very strange. And in a way, we live in a pretty strange world that has these many, many different parts in it. I'm going to show you a little bit more about that now. Because on the one hand, on the one hand, yes, in the modern world, we still have the leader of Christianity for most people in Christianity called the Pope, and people still have this idea of the supernatural, and they believe, and most people still believe in that. And yet, on the other hand, in this modern world, people do this too. Right? On the other hand, people have these vehicles on these super highways, and then look at this one. This is called an Airbus, and it's a double-decker super plane that goes anywhere in the world, and human beings fly thousands of times faster than birds can, and they even sleep in the sky. They sleep in the sky. All right, so something strange has happened, something very different than even Christopher Columbus could have imagined. There has been a real change where we have science and technology, and we live in a very different world. It still has the religion of Christianity in it, but that religion of Christianity has changed a lot. Right? When we think of Christmas in modern America, what do we have in our idea of Christmas? We have this big, cheerful guy. He's called Santa Claus. Now, you know, that has nothing to do with the original story of Christianity. This is Coca-Cola. This is American. This is something very different and new. Now, still in this modern world, people still remember and think about Christianity. Right? So we have here this electrical lighting display on the, somebody's front lawn, and they're showing the what's called the nativity scene, right? This is the baby Jesus and Mary and Joseph, his parents, and parts of, you know, the idea of Christianity and so on. So we live in this really interesting modern time where we have different kinds of Christianity. We have a kind of modern American Christianity that includes Santa Claus somehow and electrical lights. But we have all different kinds. It's a very, very different world. In Christopher Columbus's time, there weren't multiple kinds of Christianity. So how did that come to be? Well, there was an event in history called the Reformation and Religious Wars. I actually have a better image than this. I didn't notice that this is my old one. There's a man named Martin Luther, and he decided that he was not going to follow the Pope. And he was the Pope, right? And the Pope is supposed to be the leader of Christianity. And along comes Martin Luther, and he says, no, I have my own belief. Here he is holding his hand to his heart and saying, I don't accept your version of my religion. I have my own version. And before you know it, there's 20,000 different versions of Christianity like there are today. 20,000 different versions. So now we live in a very different time. So in this segment of the course, we're going to be talking about this. Oh, I'm sorry. That's not the one that I wanted. I wanted to go right back to this window here. We're going to be talking about these things that have transformed our world from the one that Christopher Columbus lived in into the one that we live in. We're going to talk about the Age of Discovery. We're going to talk about the Renaissance. And we're going to talk about the Reformation and Religious Wars. Before you know it, people are going to start living in America, and they're going to live in a world that has already included these things. They're going to be different than the ones that we found back in Europe. They're going to be new kinds of people in a new world. And they're going to be coming closer and closer towards us. There we have it. There we have it. Hope that's an exciting preview for you. It's exciting for me to get to think about how we're going to be doing all this amazing stuff in the class. So, hopefully you're all so excited. Tomorrow, of course, we go back to history through art. I'll probably give you a few more pointers about facts practice. And then on Monday, we'll actually do a facts practice in class, and we'll start talking about the Age of Discovery and get into this theme for part two, which is the shaping of a new world. All right, folks, any last thoughts or questions? Put that hand down, Jeremy. Or keep it up if you still have one. Okie doke. That's it for now, folks. Thank you very much. Talk to you tomorrow.
Bye, Mr. Powell.
Bye. Bye.